All right, welcome to Highly Questionable. We got Monta McNutt putting on for the WNBA, the night of the WNBA All-Star Game. We got Mike Golic Jr. putting on for somebody I don't really know. Let's do some television.
Do the Bucks need another 40 from Giannis tonight to have a chance?
Oh, these are the kinds of people we are in our business. We out here banging on Giannis behind the free throws, talking about every limitation that there is in his game. And now we're like, I wonder if he can give them 40 again. And he probably can give them 40 again. Do I think they need it? Oh, that depends. And it really just depends entirely on Chris Middleton, who has not gotten up to 20 points in the last couple of games. He has not looked like the legitimate second option that they needed, the guy that could get his own shot. Because if he shows up and he plays that kind of game, then they don't need 40 from Giannis. I don't think it's sustainable to think that you're going to get 40 from him every night in order to win. So they're going to need somebody else to be a viable shot maker for them. Chris Middleton is that guy. I think he shows up. I don't think he shows up all the time necessarily, but I think he shows up in this because I just can't believe it's going to be game after game after game. He's had one game where he's gotten up to even 43% in the course of this series. I expect him to be better. I expect that to mean Giannis won't have to do nearly as much.
I expect Giannis to have another 40, and I think the Bucks do continue to need it. If you ask me who I trust on this Bucks squad, it's Giannis. And yes, we talked about how one-dimensional his game is, Bo, but finally he's sticking to the one-dimensional thing, and the refs are certainly helping him out. When it comes to Chris Middleton, though, statistically, in game threes, he was averaging 10 points better in the series, and he didn't necessarily meet that expectation in this particular game three. So I'm starting to wonder if Phoenix has his number in a way that previous matchups quite haven't.
I would say for Giannis, it's less about a specific number. Like, this isn't a how many as much as a how for him in this game. They need to continue to be able to rely on him in the ways they have. And we saw, even in game three, similar output, but I thought style-wise different, quicker decisions, especially in some of those two-man games coming from the wing. The reason I'd say it's got to be that how still is because the part I actually have trouble trusting is Drew Holiday, who went 5-for-10 from beyond the arc in game three and has not displayed any level of consistency during this postseason. And so I have a tough time relying on him to go out, spread the floor in the way that him knocking down threes in that last game did. So Giannis is going to have to be the anchor to see if this is the Middleton game, if we get another one of those Lopez games that shows up from time to time, if Pat Connaughton can get hot from beyond three and kind of stay hot from beyond three to help them out. But it's ultimately still got to be anchored by Giannis.
Well, the other thing, too, is like, these are the playoffs, right? Phoenix was up 2-0. They lost this one. We would expect that now is time for the adjustment for Monty Williams, right? Monty Williams adjusts to what he saw in game three, which in theory then means it's time for the Budenholzer adjustment. Y'all think he got any of those left, right? Because I feel like the adjustment that he made last time was the one that shouldn't have been an adjustment he should have done in the first place. You know, maybe Drew Holiday should just harangue Chris Paul the whole time. It's probably the best chance you have. And it took him a while to be like, you know what? That might be a pretty good idea. I don't feel like that's a man that's got number two in his plans.
I will
say to your point, DeAndre Ayton gets in foul trouble again.
That too. And I will say to your point in terms of adjustments, but we've seen this Phoenix Suns squad respond. When DeAndre Ayton got, Zubac got the better of him, DeAndre Ayton came back and responded. I do think that the Sarge injury might be a sneaky big deal just in terms of that. But I don't expect Devin Booker to string together back-to-back four games. And Mikal Bridges will be more involved than just 4 points. Phoenix is going to adjust. I think finally, guys, we're in for the game that had me thinking this series will require 7 anyway.
You know what? You just mentioned that thing about Sarge. This is what I need to do. If I'm Budenholzer, I was only one message on the whiteboard. Make Frank Kaminsky beat you. That's going to be our whole entire strategy. We're going to find a way to get Frank Kaminsky out there. Man, I feel so bad, man. It's not his fault that he's who he is. You know what I'm saying? But if I was in the playoffs and I had Giannis and these other cats, I want him playing as much as possible.
The state of Wisconsin's got to collectively feel bad about that strategy, too.
Oh, good point. He's their guy.
Mm-hmm. Does Kawhi's torn ACL make it more or less likely that he stays with the Clippers this offseason?
Okay, so we didn't talk about this nearly enough when he signed this deal with the Clippers, but I was personally shocked given the injury issues that he had on the way out the door in San Antonio and watching him labor through those 2019 playoffs with seemed to be knee issues that he only signed a 2-year deal with a 1-year option when he got there. I would have thought he wanted something more long-term. And this was worst case scenario. Kawhi Leonard has had a surgery to repair a partially torn ACL. Now, what happens down the line? I really don't know. In theory, he could opt in and take this last year of this deal, and that seems to make some sense. If for no other reason, then he's probably not going to play next season. So it's not like he's going to harm his value by getting on the court. You can lock in that guaranteed money. I'm looking at it like if you're another team, I'm not trying to lean into 4 years of Kawhi Leonard at his age at this point. Because one thing that has been easy to lose sight of, and this is not a slight to him, the best version of him was the 2017 version. Like what he was in that postseason is better than he's ever been. Even in 2019 when he was finals MVP, he wasn't as good as he was that year before. Which is to say, this is a player on the decline. Even if he's still on the high part of the hill, he is on the decline. Do you want to pay for the decline of Kawhi Leonard? I don't know if I would want to do that.
Yeah, when you look at every part of this situation, coming back to the Clippers in some form would make sense. Like picking up that player option, hell, even declining that. And I'm sure if there was someone that would be willing to pay for the decline of Kawhi Leonard, it would be the Clippers, like a team incentivized to try and keep marquee talent in that building, especially when we know how Steve Ballmer feels about playing second fiddle in that town and ceding any ground in that race. You combine that with the fact that he could miss 6 to 9 months in the recovery of this injury. He's got a coach that we heaped praise on during this postseason and a running mate who stepped up in a big way and may have finally slayed some mental demons. But again, this is Kawhi Leonard. This is like trying to make sense of that Ruby Thief they talked about in the Dark Knight movie. And so I am not going to pretend to have any idea what this man has on his mind or in his heart, but I would say all signs would certainly lead to him being back.
It's yet to be revealed if part of those mental demons was actually needing the space to be on the floor without Kawhi when it comes to Paul George, but we'll have to see how that plays. I will say this. I think it comes down to whether or not the Clippers thought Kawhi was their long-term play anyway, right? I always think of him as kind of a hired mercenary that's willing to go wherever he deems is the best fit, whether that's based on the medical staff, camaraderie with his teammates, or the weather. Who knows what Kawhi is thinking? It would seem for him it's smartest to opt in and collect his coins. But if he opts out, does he have another destination in mind? Like, we just never know what Kawhi is doing. And I don't know if the Clippers thought that he was the guy for a long time anyway.
Yeah, I think they did think he was the guy for a long time just because of how much they gave up in order to get Paul George. And that was to get the Paul George and Kawhi Leonard special. Here's what I will say. I think he wants to stay with the Clippers because if you want to live in San Diego so bad that you live there and commute to Los Angeles for work, something tells me that's the place that you want to be in. And now the Clippers are so pot committed because of what they gave up in that trade, except they look pretty good without him. Like if they didn't bring him back and then just decided to add a couple more things, they still might be a viable contender in the West. This is going to be fascinating to watch how this plays out.
Up next on HQ.
2-1 pitch is hit like a rocket, knocked Scherzer down.
Yeah, like that's looking like his dad. Just a hard line.
Ooh, what are those?
Just a hard line drive. Okay, that's one. Now look at this at bat.
Healthy and happy.
I believe this is 468. Well, he's also the Little League kid taking this way more serious than everybody else. Like there's a huge range of what you in it for on a Little League team. People in it for all kinds of different reasons. Number 28 is out there to purge this anger through victory. That's what he's going for. The other dude just out here trying to have a good time and swing the bat.
Make some friends.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Geico. Save even more when you bundle home and car insurance.
Time to play the game that felt like a really disappointing junior after watching Vladdy last night. Do you question?
Your daddy got a full head of hair. You know the real disappointment. You give us topics and events and we question them.
Monday every week when I shave this dome.
Do you question which pitcher was more deserving of an apology from Vlad Jr.?
Yeah, Vlad Jr., the guy that's gotten lost in the whole Tatis Jr. thing, right? And I don't know if it would be different if he had a different name. He would stand out more, but he feels like Jr. number two. However, look at this.
2-1 pitch is hit like a rocket, knocked Scherzer down. And the out at
yeah, like that's looking like his dad. Just a hard line. Ooh, what are those? Just a hard line drive. Okay, that's one. Now look at this at bat.
Healthy and happy.
Woo! I believe this is 468.
You see where they wanted the pitch, and that ball turned the corner, and both of them knew the catcher.
Oh my God!
I bet his daddy think he's soft and wearing them batting gloves, though.
Yep.
Good gracious.
Tatis's reaction is my favorite.
There was no need for anybody to turn around. Like, as the pitcher, just get the next baseball, baby. Just throw me the next one. That's all I need.
I will say the best part about that exchange with Tatis, too, because you saw on the broadcast, they said, go ahead and say something to him. And Tatis immediately broke out in Spanish. He said, I'm going to say something to him, but I'm not giving it to any of the rest of you guys in that booth.
Say something to him on his way around.
That was an opportune time to have a mic on a guy. Perfect. Well executed.
Dude, can we look at that second one again, though? Like, I understand that it's Coors Field. I get all of this stuff. But just look how far this goes.
Ooh. Apparently, though, now there's also statistics for whether or not it would have cleared all the parks. And I'm pretty sure I heard them say on the broadcast it still would have cleared.
Look, there's a guy who played for the Braves in the 90s who hit this towering home run in batting practice. And somebody asked if it would go out of every park. And the answer was, yeah, except for two. Yellowstone and Yosemite. That's what happened here.
Nice.
By the way, if we are going back to the original question of does one of these pitchers deserve more of an apology, I'd say going up and giving the hug to Max Scherzer is probably always the right move in this situation, given the choice of one or the other.
Yeah, he like he threatened one man's pride. He threatened one man's life. I think the one whose life was legitimately in danger. If you're going to do it, that's the way to go.
Do you question whether Peyton Manning's arm looks better than it did the last time he played?
All right, so you know, Peyton Manning, Hall of Fame quarterback, never the biggest arm in the world, but a capable NFL arm. And then that last season we saw him, it looked like he was throwing with his foot. Let's see how he looked throwing out first pitch last night.
Oh.
Okay, not bad.
Okay, yeah. I expected worse.
Not bad. I tell you this, though, you can tell he still got that neck situation.
Yeah, it looks a little dinosaur-ish to me in the movement.
One thing that's interesting, too, how 20 yards looks different depending on what you're doing. Like 20 yards on a golf course looks different than 20 yards on a football field, looks different than 20 yards on a baseball field, because that's the mound, basically. It's 20 yards. He can't throw a 20 yards no more, though. Like, that's a little bit of a bummer.
He's been relaxing. It's a different motion. He looked a little dinosaur-ish to me.
As someone who's watched my dad swing a golf club at this point right now, there are a lot of those things you're just never going to outrun there. So, Peyton will look good. Leave all that fun stuff to Arch. He's got it. Dad hit 50, and every injury from his playing days came back. It was like three new surgeries that had to happen.
He's due for
a knee or a shoulder replacement. I'm not sure which he's going to go for because losing all that weight's helped him, but once they put a pin in your shoulder, you're just on borrowed time. I don't feel bad for him. He hits the ball straight as
Do you question if this kid has the right mentality?
All right, we're going out to Little League Baseball. There'll be a young man on second base giving some advice to his teammate who is in the batter's box. Whoa!
Hey, hold on.
I feel like I got to stand up for me and my people on this one. Can you run this one more time? That might break the other dude's hip bone.
So is this child me versus child Bomani in this stuff right now? Because it feels like child me on second base realized I don't have a choice to get out of the way of that thing. Our body doesn't have the dynamicism, whatever that word is, to be able to move out of the way of that one. So it seems like we wanted child Bomani to go down with us.
The kid just seems so disgusted. Like, what do you mean you're just not going to let it hit you? Like, that probably would hurt.
Well, he's also the Little League kid taking this way more serious than everybody else. Like, there's a huge range of what you in it for on a Little League team. People in it for all kinds of different reasons. Number 28 is out there to purge this anger through victory. That's what he's going for. The other dude just out here trying to have a good time and swing the bat.
Make some friends.
28, let me just tell you right now, it's called football and lacrosse. They give you a stick and you can hit people with it in that one. Worked wonders.
Up next on HQ.
Honestly, it's better it went that way than the other way, because if you had did that to Brooks, then you would have really had something on your hands.
That's true.
Bryson felt complimented by that.
I'm going at Chelsea Gray, just FYI. I mean, she was my teammate for years, but I'm like, the first time down the court, like, I just need a back screen and a switch and her on the block. That's all I need.
See, that's how you know they like each other. Candace Parker wants to get switched on to her to then take her to the block, because if they didn't like each other, what Candace Parker would want to do is be the one setting the screen.
Right at her head. Time to play the game that's watching another All-Star tonight. See or no?
You give us topics and events, and we question them and move our heads at all kinds of different times.
Tomorrow morning on NBC, the Open Championship.
Yes, the British Open. Like, I guess it's not really called the British Open. That throws me off every time. Like, it makes me feel like such an unsophisticated Canadian. You know, we got this Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau sort of beef. So let's start with a clip from our good friend, Mr. DeChambeau.
Would you have any problem being paired with him in the Ryder Cup?
Oh, no.
Steve Stricker decided so.
No. Not at all. I think it'd be kind of funny, actually. I'd love it. I think it would do well, to be honest. It'd create a little interesting vibe for the team or for the guys we're playing against.
Okay, so he'd be down to play in the Ryder Cup with Koepka. Let's talk to Koepka.
Brooks, is there a point, considering that, you know, the Ryder Cup's coming up later this year, that you have to start at least trying to get along with Bryson somehow if you're going to be in the same team in September?
You realize it's only a week, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, you are in the same team. I mean...
It's only a week. I mean, look, I can put it aside for business. If we're going to be on the same team, I can deal with anybody in the world for a week, and I'm not playing with them. I'm pretty sure we're not going to be paired together. Put it that way. I think that's kind of obvious.
Dude, if you can't even put up with a press conference, you can't put up with that dude for no week. Like, I can put up with anybody for a week. Nothing about your interactions indicate to me that you could put up with that dude for a week. Just seeing him for 1 minute, seven straight days, I don't feel like you built for that. Monica, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued just to see how this plans out. It literally looks like he was going to vomit. Like, he just can't fathom the idea. Meanwhile, DeChambeau's like, yeah, it'd be kind of funny. This thing is so lopsided.
Mike, you're intrigued.
Yeah, I'm intrigued more by the reporters who clearly have never covered team sports before, because then they would realize it is very possible to hate some of the people in your locker room and still coexist and function peacefully on the court.
Yeah, but that's because y'all got to do it all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to reach that point.
And it's a bigger, more team. Like, you got other teammates that you like to balance it out.
They got natural space out there. It's a big golf course.
Y'all also fight each other. True. You left that part out.
To your point, Gojo, I don't think the reporters are really helping this beef at all.
Hi, Brooks.
That's not Brooks. That's that he said Brooks. I do appreciate that Mike Golic messed around and thought they all looked alike. Better you than me.
I mean, we kind of do. Honestly, it's better it went that way than the other way, because if you had did that to Brooks, then you would have really had something on your hands.
That's true.
Bryson felt complimented by that.
Right. You know what? In this one, it's like Bryson is Jalen Ramsey and Brooks is AJ Green. Like,
yes,
you're just trolling. I'm pissed. Mm-hmm.
Tonight on ESPN, the WNBA All-Star Game.
I am down to check it out. Except it's the NBA Finals. They put us in a little bit of a trick bag here, but I do want to see some of this. We got Candace Parker here and Chelsea Gray. They are former teammates, and they talk about why they're excited to play against each other in the All-Star game.
I'm going at Chelsea Gray, just FYI. I mean, she was my teammate for years, but I'm like, the first time down the court, like, I just need a back screen and a switch and her on the block. That's all I need.
Listen, that's my dog. That's my homie. I'm super proud for her to be in this All-Star game and be able to compete against her. But, you know, I'm going to try to go one-on-one against her a little bit, sauce her up a little bit. And she will probably try to post me up, do a little fake over my head. I swear I'm not going to go for the fake, but I'm excited.
See, that's how you know they like each other. Candace Parker wants to get switched on to her to then take her to the block. Because if they didn't like each other, what Candace Parker would want to do is be the one setting the screen.
Right at her head.
Oh, Monica, you intrigued?
That too. I'm 100% intrigued. And Bo, let me make your life a little bit easier. WNBA All-Star tips at 7. Finals game doesn't tip till 9. Get your little appetizer before we get to game 4. This game is going to be great. I'm really excited for the WNBA All-Stars too. The Olympic team represents a lot of names that we know, and rightfully so. But we've talked a lot about the marketing needing to improve with the W. So Team WNBA, Jonquel Jones, Banaa Gillane, just a couple of names on that team that you should learn.
All right, Mike, you intrigued?
I am very intrigued. And just as much as I love a good beef between people that clearly like each other, I'm also in it to check out this format because I think it's something I'd like to see other leagues, potentially even the NBA, experiment with something similar here. A cool nod to give everyone a nice send-off before the Tokyo Games here. Definitely in on this.
All right, that is our show. Check out Mike Golic Jr., 4 to 7 Eastern, ESPN Radio, Chennai and Golic. Monica McNutt will also be on ESPN Radio pregame and postgame for Game 4 of the NBA Finals.
Check out The Right Time with Pamani Jones, wherever you get podcasts.
I appreciate it. Mike always waits like anybody else cares as much as he does. Thank you, sir.